This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
A couple things about oil.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. BP said today the world's proven oil reserves haven't really changed since last year. If you buy that, it's another sign of the tightening supply of oil. Oil traders see it that way. The price of oil shot up $3 this morning to $133 a barrel. Later on, we'll get the latest reading on U.S. oil reserves. As for the stock markets, in Asia, minor gains with the Nikkei up about 1%. European shares are flat so far. The Dow is at 12,289. It added 9 points yesterday. The Donald has brought his unique brand of showmanship to Scotland this week. Trump wants permission to build a $2 billion golf resort on the Scottish coast. But as much as they love golf, many Scots want Trump to get lost. A 3-week public hearing is underway. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joins us. Stephen, I understand Scotland is kind of divided about this.
Yes, because while there is quite a bit of local opposition because of the concern about what it might do to this beautiful landscape, this is an economically depressed part of the country, and so there is some support for what is a pretty big development and will bring perhaps as many as 500, perhaps even 1,000 jobs to the area.
I actually read that Trump said, if you reject this, there will be a terrible blow to Scotland. You believe
that one?
The
Scottish economy will never recover. I mean, I don't think they'll ever recover anyway, because you've got these sort of rather dour, reticent Scottish people confronted by this amazingly flamboyant character flying in with his Boeing 727 with Trump blazoned all on one side. And, of course, his extraordinary hairstyle. After the first day, Trump said, I'm slaying them. We'll know in about 3 weeks whether his arguments will carry the day.
Well, is anyone else interested in this property if this resort doesn't get approved?
Not that I'm aware of. I cannot believe that this bit of coastline, beautiful as it is, would have anything like the commercial value it would have if Trump got permission to build his golf course there. I think if he does sell and if he goes home, it'll just go back to being a very quiet but beautiful Scottish backwater.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Today, Congress holds a hearing on the business of radio, specifically royalties for playing music. Jeremy Hobson has that story from Washington.
You keep saying you got something for me.
A lot's changed in radio since 1966, when Nancy Sinatra released her hit, These Boots Are Made for Walkin'. Even the song's changed a bit, thanks to Jessica Simpson.
You keep saying you got something for me.
But one thing hasn't changed. It's still free for FM radio to play those songs. They don't have to pay royalties to musicians as satellite radio and radio stations in other countries do.
I don't think that's fair.
That's Nancy Sinatra, who will be making the case on Capitol Hill later today for a royalty requirement. She doesn't buy the argument that radio play leads to record sales.
Most of the time when I listen to the radio, I don't hear them mentioning the artist or the musicians or any of that. So I don't see where the promotion is.
Well, that's interesting because we just released a study that proves without doubt that radio airplay generates enormous revenues for record labels and the musicians.
That's Dennis Wharton with the National Association of Broadcasters. He says royalties could cost the industry as much as a third of its annual ad revenue.
This is a dire threat to the radio business.
Wharton's argument seems to be resonating on Capitol Hill. Already, almost half of the House of Representatives has signed a resolution against imposing royalty fees on radio broadcasters. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of American women, by supporting Women Heart. Information at womenheart.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Gas and food prices are a stressful problem in this country, but elsewhere things have turned pretty ugly with riots and protests. In Spain, truckers are on strike, so gas stations and grocery stores can't even get their shipments. Commentator Robert Reich says this is the new reality.
The costs of food and fuel are soaring. Everyone, it seems, is looking for scapegoats, international conspiracies, speculators, hoarders. But the main reason food and fuel prices are skyrocketing is demand for both is rapidly exceeding supply. You see, hundreds of millions of people in China and India and the former Soviet republics are ascending into the middle class at a rate never before seen in history. And the two items this huge, rapidly growing middle class want most are cars and meat. That's the problem. Cars use enormous amounts of fuel, and meat uses up enormous amounts of agricultural land, because animals that provide it require lots of feed grains, and supplies of both are limited. This means global prices for fuel and food will continue to increase in the foreseeable future, and these increases are likely to generate the biggest threats to global peace. Political pressures will mount on governments to protect their own nation's sources of energy and food for their own citizens. Conflict will intensify over whether land should be used for biofuels or food production. Farm subsidies in advanced nations will come under increasing attack from developing nations. Meanwhile, superpowers China, Europe, and America will compete ever more intensely for access to global supplies. And as more cars are used and more forests are cleared for agriculture, greenhouse gases will further shrink arable land. The answer to all this lies mainly in increasing the supply of food and fuels. And both will depend on two kinds of green research, into more productive and sustainable agriculture and into more efficient and sustainable fuels. In other words, we're in a race between developing new biotechnologies and new sources of renewable energy on the one hand, and confronting rising political and economic conflict on the other. And the global clock is ticking ominously fast.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at the Marketplace Confessional. You'll find it online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.